Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
8 o'clock on a Tuesday. Good morning. Bottom of the hour, we have Greg Hargrave's college football rankings. And we challenged Greg to nerd out. And this week,
he came through.
Oh, he did. A lot of numbers, a lot of math, but ultimately it gets you the 12 best teams in college football. We'll do that at 8:35. Talk about the Lions game a little more, plays that saved the game, a Goff MVP question still today, and James Houston. John, are you calling bull crap on his...
careful with your words.
Explanation. Yeah. We'll get to all of that today and more. If you missed any of the show, Odyssey Rewind, go back, catch it. Talked about how Heather's household...
Yeah, went dark. Yes.
Had a tense moment at the end of the Lions game, and not the same tense moment that the rest of us had.
No, we were just wondering, were they going to be able to come back from 16 down as they worked their way back? And I didn't have to worry about the lights going out or TV going off.
The screen going off.
Yes.
Nothing like that.
Missing everything.
The key moments that you almost missed.
Thank goodness we didn't.
Right.
They didn't miss anything. Yeah. I mean, I didn't either, but more important to them than me. So.
Well, good. Let's get to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Well, Dan, good morning. How do you describe a game like that?
It's a W. Take it.
You guys just find ways to win, it feels like, every single week. And it's not the same way every single week.
No, it's not. And it doesn't matter how it goes. I mean, that is the nature of this league and the opponents that you face and where you're at. There no two wins are alike. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is finding a way to win. And, you know, as long as you, you know, that's really part of your bedrock, is overcoming. And no matter what, you're never out of it. And let's just find a way to get it right. And we do that. We have that. That is part of us. And that's the most important ingredient in any winning team.
You know, you have some halves where, I mean, you go into halftime, you're up. Maybe things have gone well. Maybe things haven't gone well. But to continually shoot yourself in the foot, what was the conversation? How do you handle a halftime like that? Because defense came out with their hair on fire.
Yeah, look, I thought our defense played pretty good. You know, there was a couple things early. I mean, we had them, you know, that first drive after a sudden change defensively, we had them in a 3rd and 18. You know, they were already in field goal range. And man, we should have gotten off the field, and you know, we make a little error there, so a couple of these popped up. But you take that play away, you take another play away. For the most part, we played pretty dang good defensively, so we knew it was just, man, we were close to playing pretty clean. And then offensively, they just, you know, they came out and we never really matched that, the intensity of that defense early. You know, we couldn't find a rhythm. And then, look, the turnovers hurt. But here's the thing. Look, the first turnover, Goff's throwing a hot, and Petrie makes a hell of a play. Ball gets batted, they get a pick, right? And so now your defense is in a tough spot. You know, the next pick that you have is, you know, throwing to Laporta. It's a good throw, man. It's a timing throw. We just don't quite make the play. The guy makes a hell of a play on it. It was literally one of those days where, man, it just wasn't – you just felt like the energy was favoring them for that day for a while. But I also knew we would get out of it. It's just a matter of when. You know, you got to fight your way out of that. Things aren't going your way. And we were able to do that.
They showed you coming out of halftime, and your face looked red. Were you emotional? Were you fired up? Like, the tone of that halftime, how did you get those guys ready to play the second half?
Well, look, I think we just talked about what we can do better. You know, I thought the coaches hit them well. There's a couple of things that we made a couple of adjustments, but also I just wanted to see us come out and you know, switch the intensity a little bit, you know, particularly offensively. Let's take it to them a little bit. And that was really the gist of it. It's just, you know, clean a couple of things up. Nobody was frazzled. You know, nobody was, you know, there's always going to be a little frustration with those things. But yet, man, that didn't put us in a bad way. We handle adversity pretty well here. So we knew we would get out of it. It's a matter of time. And so let's worry about the next play in front of us, and you know, give that play your full attention and give it your full effort, and then let's see where this thing goes.
Kickers can be a different bunch, and I've talked about my experience with them. I'm sure you've had some unique experiences with them. But Jake Bates, as a rookie, the Minnesota kick, these kicks in this game, I mean, he has had some big moments for you guys. How do you help, or how does Dave Phipp help him approach the game and moments like that?
Well, I think we try to put him in some of these pressure situations. You know, I kind of mentioned this a couple of days ago. I mean, we did this Thursday. We really put him in the game situation, the whole team around him, and it's for the win. And he nailed it, and it was a kick longer than the one he just nailed, both of those kicks he made the other day in the game, you know. So I think that's important. You know, I try to apply a little pressure, and I have really since training camp, you know, just in my own way, stuff that I know would probably irritate him, you know. And just to make him not worry, but, you know, don't worry about it. Block everything out. Do what you do. And he's good about that. I mean, he really is. He's pretty good about just, you know, he gets away from everybody, and he can kind of get in his own head in a good way and shut everything else out. And I do feel like there's something to him. You know, when man, you put him in a competitive setting, and he's pretty good about that. And he just continues to get better and better, and he's a creature of habit. Phipp's done a great job with just, hey, man, trust your leg. Trust this ball's not going to move much because you got such a powerful leg. And, it, you know, talking about like Green Bay last week in the elements, man, you kick it the same way, and if you don't make it, that's on us, not him, you know, because we're asking him to kick it too far in the elements. Well, same thing here, man. Just trust your leg, push it. Don't worry about anything else. And, man, those were two huge kicks for us.
You mentioned Jared Goff's first couple interceptions. The third one, of course, was just a deep ball before the half. But five interceptions is a headline. Level of concern with the way he played coming out of that game?
None. I mean, everybody's going to think we're crazy. You're going to think I'm crazy. You know, anytime you have five interceptions, you're like, oh, I'm telling you, he didn't play a bad game. He played a pretty good game. And I mean, there's really not one of those. I guess there's maybe one, but he's going where we're telling him to go with the ball, and he's putting it where we're telling him to put it. And then there's a couple of these that get batted. I mean, you know, and it's like, oh man, it gets batted up. You know, interception here at the line. He's getting ready to throw. It bounces off the D lineman. Interception. I mean, man, he's doing exactly what we're asking him to do. So I'm not worried at all. I thought he played pretty good. It's just, dude, that's the nature of this game sometimes, man. The ball doesn't bounce your way, and you just hang in there. Defense, we need a couple of takeaways. Keep giving us the ball back, which our defense did, and we'll work our way out of it.
You're killing the fans by not playing Za'Darius Smith. What went into the decision to not play him, and then also how much are you excited to see him on the field and be a part of this defense moving forward?
Yeah, that's not an easy decision at all. But also, there's a couple of things. Number one, we're going in that game with seven wins. Number two, we're getting Pascal back, which we did. He played well, by the way. Number three, this guy has played a lot of football. He's already played a lot of football in the 2024 season, and I just felt like it was right to let's get him acclimated to what we do, how we do things around here, our defensive terminology, and give him a breather, you know, because it is a long season. I mean, we got 11 games left here, and we're going to need him for every one of those. And every time we get a little bit closer to the end, they get more critical. So I just felt like it's the right thing to do. And then, yes, I'm excited to get him going. I think he's going to be an excellent addition for us. I think he brings a complementary piece to our defense in that D line. And I'm excited to see him play for us.
I think we're all doing the math on 11 games. Lions head coach Dan Campbell joining us this morning. A lot to talk about from that football game. Felt like the run game didn't get going early. Was there when you needed it late? What was the adjustment, and how did you get it going?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I said the run game. You finally got some success in the second half. What was it that finally got the ground game going?
Yeah, let me say this. I thought Ben Johnson did a great job of staying patient with the run. You know, it's not, you get in a game like that, it's not easy to just, you know, you start getting antsy. You know, you need points. And, man, I thought that was excellent. And so we leaned on the run game. We leaned on the offensive line. I thought we were much better in some of our combination blocks up front. We blocked it better. And then I just thought David – you know, David and Gibbs really took that game over. You know, they came on and it was a 1-2 punch. Gibbs almost broke about three of those. Man, I mean, he is an inch away from taking it all the way to the house and really ignited us. And then once that happened, you know, man, our guys really showed up. You know, St. Brown makes big plays because now you're in the play action pass. You know, J-Mo made some big plays. Goff was making big throws. You know, our guys showed up in crunch time. And look, I'll say this again. I don't want to say he ever gets overshadowed, but you know, a game like that, you come out and he made these critical catches at the end. I'm talking about St. Brown, but I mean, Sam played his ass off, and he does every week. And there's so many things that people don't even realize or see. I mean, he blocked from start to finish and mixed it up the whole freaking game. And you could just see when it's time to go. Like, I love Saint because when it's time to – we got to start finding a way to win a game. Things aren't going your way. He doesn't press to the point of making mistakes. He presses in the right manner to help us win. And he's – you know, we got a group of guys like him, and our guys will find a way to win over there.
You've talked about the conversations you've had about winning the division, getting into the tournament at the end of the season. You mentioned the 11 games. How much of a conversation or awareness is there about getting the one seed?
No, I mean, our guys know that. That was one of the things I talked about in training camp. And, you know, because you got to work backwards. And I've said it before, you can't just keep saying that the end game is the end game. We all know that. So now what do you got to do? You got to win your division, and preferably you want to be the one. And that's kind of where it goes. And so that whole focus is the division and getting that one seed, you know, because your odds go up. That only helps you. Doesn't mean you can't go all the way. If it's not that, and that's fine. You take it as it comes, but that's what we're shooting for. And ultimately that means you got to play each week, one at a time, and you got to give it your full intention. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
Let you go on this update on Sam Laporta, Taylor Decker, just as you gear up for this week.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's day to day. Nothing's changed since yesterday. Well, you know, he really is questionable. I can't tell you where I would lean right now with him. You know, time will tell. And Decker is questionable. I know he's doing better than he was last week. And, you know, I feel pretty good about him. But there again, he's day-to-day.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Appreciate some of your time. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thanks. Take care, guys.
It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you, understands you, and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should be as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. How do they get it done? They're attentive. They take the time to get to know you, ask you questions, as they did me, and they're going to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes on a regular basis to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com, First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Not to gloss over it, thought it made sense. Took a second to do the math. 11 more games for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
That would mean
8 regular season games.
plus three playoff games because you have a bye in the first round because you are the one seed. 11 games for the Lions would mean they're in the Super Bowl. I knew what Dan was saying. I'm happy you followed up on it. But for everybody ticket texting in, they noticed too, 11 more games for the Detroit Lions. This isn't a surprise. Brad Holmes said the goal is the Super Bowl. Dan Campbell's never shied away from what this team's capable of.
No, and it was very clear. What's your best odds? You get the bye. You get the one seed. Yep. You play all your playoff games at home until you have to go on the road for the Super Bowl. It's there's nothing cocky about saying it. They're in that position as we speak. And I know the Eagles, they're nipping at their heels, but they're 7-2. The Lions control their own destiny.
Yep.
That is the goal. And it's okay to talk about your goals.
Texter says 11 games would make us play in the Super Bowl if my math is correct. Another one says only 8 regular season games remain. Question mark. Yeah, 3 playoff games. He said after 11 games left, he's counting the Super Bowl. Anybody catch that? Jade in Ann Arbor. And love when MCDC says we have 11 games left. John in Fenton.
Yep.
Yes. Subtle but not subtle. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's thinking about New Orleans. Now, they got to go week by week, and that's basically what he said to you on the follow-up is...
Yeah, you got to take it one week at a time, which you want to put your best foot forward, I think is what he said, paraphrasing. And then you take it back to last week where they didn't play Za'Darius Smith. And so the best foot forward would have playing Za'Darius Smith,
but
it may be the best foot forward for the next 11 games to give him that one game.
You and I talked about it last Friday, that Za'Darius wouldn't have a bye week if he played this week.
Yeah.
This is the Cleveland bye week.
And I heard him talking about he's got must have a home in Florida that was hit by a hurricane. It was his only chance during the season to go down and check on it. So that's part of the reason why he wasn't there until Friday. I get that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a class move by Dan and Brad Holmes.
You see why players love these guys.
Yeah.
You know, they could have said, hey, we need all hands on deck. Yeah. It's a Sunday night football game.
You can send somebody down there to check on it.
Right. And, hey, it's his job. It's football. I think he would have played. He clearly was in a great mood and wanted to be out there. But it's about making sure that his body holds up for the long haul because they do have games in January and February on their mind.
Sure. Yeah.
But and it's that body balancing
and
act.
Mind. Yeah. Yes. You don't want him wondering, you know, do I have an investment down in Florida. I want to be able to check on it. I had plans to before the trade happened. And so I thought it was a class move for them to consider the entire individual, not just what it would mean for this one game.
Also said, no concern with Jared Goff.
No, I don't know why there would be.
No, I don't have a concern either. He said, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I'm looking at you like, none of us think you're crazy. I mean, 5 picks is jarring. I think the 2 in the second half seem to be the worst 2. And he said there was maybe 1 that you could question.
Yeah.
The worst one to me was the 5th interception he threw, the one to J-Mo, where it looked like they were not on the same page or he sailed it. It could have been more outside. Looked like J-Mo's route was supposed to. I don't know if it was a. Maybe that's not the one. Maybe it was the one he threw down near the goal line, a ball to Sam LaPorta, the 4th interception. But by and large, Jared Goff has played efficient football this season.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have any fear that it's going to be a hangover effect. Like, he's going to have turnovers against Jacksonville. I still think the guy's good.
Yeah, he's still good. He's still can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's already been there once. Now he's got to get the job done with the Detroit Lions. And here's a stat, too, I just thought was fun. And I can't remember where I saw this, so if I credit wrong, I apologize. I think it was Lions Wire. The Lions became the first team since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970 to overcome a deficit of at least 15 points while throwing 5 or more interceptions. It's unbelievable what they were able to do. And we go back to what Jared Goff had done last year in regards to throwing an interception and then coming back and leading a touchdown drive. Like, if you're going to have a quarterback that at moments is going to have a game like this, it's not ideal. But you also have to have a guy that can wipe whatever happened on the last drive, whatever happened in the first half, wipe the slate clean, and still go out there and perform. If you don't have a guy like that, you got no chance to make that comeback.
Greg Hargrave gets really nerdy with her college football rankings this week. But first, let's go to Heather's news.
So a Wyandotte woman jumped, or I guess dove into action to save a dog in the Detroit River. But what happened afterward is not at all what she expected. So her, you know, big hero story took a turn when she ended up in police custody. Uh-oh. So it happened on Friday morning. This woman basically came out of nowhere, jumped in the river when she heard this woman screaming about her dog. The dog got out of the harness, just went in the river. Well, this woman was able to kind of float on her back with the dog on her chest, got the dog to the shore. Dog is saved, right? She was fine. She got out of the water, and everything was good. But police showed up just to get
make
a report.
Make sure everything was okay. Yeah,
yeah, make sure everything's okay. Get a report. And as she started to talk with police, it was clear that she was highly intoxicated, and she became just uncooperative. Didn't want to answer questions. She had some warrants out So she didn't want to do anything with the police. And they even offered, you know what? We're just going to drive you home. We're just going to take you home and nothing's going to happen. Well, she didn't want that either. And they ended up arresting her for public intoxication.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer because, you know, great story. Woman rescues dog, right? Didn't go over very well. Let's see. Oh, earlier this morning, I had a story about this investigation that's going on in East Lansing where police found a body inside the freezer of a home. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's another story I have that now police are investigating a dead body. Another one. Michigan State Police are investigating after hikers found a body that washed ashore from Lake Superior along the pictured rocks. Mm. Yeah. Happened on Friday. Troopers responded to the lakeshore. This was near Miners Beach after a bunch of hikers saw this body and they called 911. Well, so far, the body has not been identified. Obviously, everything's under investigation, but police do say foul play is not suspected.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I know. Very, very sad. The toy company Mattel is apologizing after a misprint on its packaging for its new Wicked Dolls sent some unsuspecting fans to a porn website.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on a children's, children's packaging. So instead of pointing customers to the official movie website, because these were all dolls for the new Wicked movie, which is wickedmovie.com. That's where
they're supposed to go.
The box printed the website as wicked.com, which then, of course, requires users to say, are they 18 years or older?
Oh, did you check it out?
I did not. No, I didn't. Did you?
No.
Oh, well.
Just asking the question.
I did not.
Do we need someone to do that? I can help us out.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Use a company computer.
Yeah, I was going to say, use your
phone. This is a laptop that is my laptop?
Don't do that.
All right. Yeah. All right.
So the guy at the center of last year's Michigan sign stealing controversy that obviously had everyone in a frenzy is back, kind of stirring the pot all over again. So Connor Stallions is now coaching the top recruit in the country and Michigan's primary quarterback target, Bryce Underwood. So he is now a coach at Belleville High School, right? You might remember he was actually coaching at Mumford High School. But now he's got a new job there for the playoffs, right? He's a play caller and he's working directly with Underwood. And he says he's just there to help them win football games, right? He has nothing to do, not trying to recruit Underwood to Michigan.
Sure, that's not going to happen at all, right? Sure.
But he's there.
And it's not against the rules, but it's just like, of course, right? Of course.
Yep.
Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Fall is here. Don't be one of the millions of Americans that let their dental benefits go to waste. Give Brightside Dental a call. Get in for an exam. Get in for a cleaning. They've got appointments this month and next month to round out the year. And with 9 Metro Detroit locations, including the new one in Trenton, they can get you in. Give them a call today. 1-800-PAINLESS. Visit brightsidedental.com. If you're subconscious about your smile, it's okay. They're not going to judge you. They want to work with you. They've got orthodontics, which means Invisalign braces if you want. And they've got great deals going throughout the rest of the year. It's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. We're going to talk a lot of Lions to wrap the show up. Some ticket texts, some phone calls. One from our news story about Connor Stallions coaching at Belleville. Says, good morning. Isn't Belleville a football powerhouse contending for a state championship? Why are they risking that by giving a part-time, inexperienced, air quote, coach who had a horrible record at Mumford a job during the playoffs? They appear to be putting Michigan top recruits and their future ahead of the entire team goals, and it seems like Michigan hasn't really distanced themselves from Connor. That's Chuck at the gym. I think that's astutely said, Chuck. Ticket Sexter says, University of Michigan is a trash program. Right, here's the deal with this. Connor Stallions is allowed to coach wherever he wants. It's odd to me that Belleville hired him. But at Belleville, he's allowed to have a relationship with Bryce Underwood. That's not against the rules. And Michigan is allowed to talk to high school coaches so they can talk to Connor about Bryce Underwood. It just creates this S storm in terms of perception.
Right. The perception is not great. But it also doesn't mean he was directed to try and get a job there.
Right. I think Michigan Manifesto, maybe doing this from an obsessive.
He keeps trying to insert himself.
Yes.
And look at me.
Why would Belleville do this? He wasn't a coach until he coached at Mumford.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
Right. He didn't call plays at
Michigan.
What
was his track record at Mumford?
Yeah, well,
right.
They're a bad team, but yeah.
Since when is he a coach? Like, the Mumford thing was kind of cutesy because they've been bad anyway, so what's the harm? Some way, you might as well, you could just take a dart at anyone. Jim Costa could go coach him and do just as bad as they have done or whatever.
Yeah.
But for him to be brought into the number one team in the country with the number one recruit that is trying to get the quarterback to flip, to me, is not a good look for Belleville. It seems suspicious from Michigan's angle as far as I'm concerned. And it just doesn't... weird.
Yeah.
I thought that text summed it up.
Chuck, it was a really good text from Chuck. We got a lot of Lions to discuss here. Dan Campbell said that we have 11 games left. You asked him about Za'Darius Smith, I think was the question.
Yeah.
And the planning purposes, and he said we have 11 games left. And I'm doing the math, and you're doing the math. And 11 would be 8 regular season, a bye week, meaning you only have to play 3 postseason games. 11 games would mean the Lions are the one seed and playing in the Super Bowl. And I don't think that's like... shocking that Campbell would say that. They're one of the best teams in football. Of course, that's the goal, and that's how they have to run this team. They're preparing to play 11 more football games.
As they should.
Yep.
I mean, that's the entire goal.
He also said he had no concern over Goff. And we have some phone calls to get to, an MVP conversation to readdress. Let's get to Kyle and Howell. Kyle, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, so I wanted to say something about the interceptions that Goff had yesterday. Like, the first two are kind of unavoidable. It's just the defense being good, right? The third one's a Hail Mary, so that one's, whatever it is. And as far as, like, the deep one that he got in the second half, like, we were having trouble establishing our run game. And in my opinion, throwing a few deep balls that may or may not get picked off, may or may not get PI calls or catches, is better than going like 3 out on runs and then punting. Like, that guarantees that Houston was going to get the ball. Deep shots, at least presents opportunities. So, like, Goff MVP all the way. And hell yeah to the 11 games left.
Yeah.
I do think his point about interceptions, John, gets glossed over, that not all interceptions are created equal. What I mean by that, if it's 3rd and 15 and you throw a 30-yard pass down, it kind of acts like it's a punt with a chance to complete it. Not all of his interceptions were deep throws, though.
No.
And not all of them were third down throws.
And not all of them were tipped balls.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you start paring things down, and were 2 of them, 100% on Goff, 1 of them on Goff? Like, that's where you got to ask the question.
Right. And MVP, he says, hell yeah, an MVP. The odds for Jared Goff to win the MVP have plummeted. Remember when he was in that top 5? Right now, he's plus 4,000 to win the MVP. Quarterbacks listed ahead of Jared Goff: Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, all with better odds to win the MVP than Jared Goff this morning.
Ask Goff if he cares what
the
odds are.
He cares, but yeah, we've talked about the MVP.
Sure.
Do you feel like his odds plummeted with 5 interceptions in a primetime spotlight game?
Sure. I mean, it's 5 interceptions. Whether or not they're on him, it still goes in his stat line, and now he has 9 for the year. He's averaging 1 a game. And so if you dig a little bit deeper, sure, things are different. And how much does going 18 for 18 or having a 75% completion percentage, does that all play into it? We all kind of felt like at some point there would be a return to a more normal level of play. Was this just the one-off of, okay, now all the stats are going to be to what they normally would, and he can continue being the exceptional Jared Goff that we've seen for the past, the prior 6 weeks?
So which name surprised you the most from that group? Like, to me, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Brock Purdy. Jalen Hurts, but some of it's also when it happens. Like Jalen Hurts started off the season with a terrible turnover yes. problem. But now, over the past, 5 weeks, he hasn't had any turnovers. So this happens in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, yeah, he drops right out. Jared Goff goes back to what he did the prior 6 weeks, and he'll start working his way back into that conversation.
Like even Mahomes. Mahomes has 9 interceptions on the year, just like Jared Goff. The fact that Mahomes is plus 650 and Goff is plus 4,000. Goff's right. thrown more touchdowns. He's on a team on the same caliber, right? These are 8-1, 9-0 football teams. I get it. It's Mahomes. But like in terms of playing quarterback this season,
sure.
Goff has played better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be how many multiples of it for him to win the MVP?
Once you get away, you get 3 or 4 weeks down the road from the drama of 5 interceptions in one game, then thing again.
It'll normalize.
It'll normalize.
Yeah, I don't think he's the favorite. I think Lamar is justifiably the favorite. Yeah, we thought, though, he could have been in the
1-2.
Yeah, 1A, 1B, or in the top 3, and I don't think he's top 3 right now.
The
season's not over. As Dan said, there's 11 more games.
Right.
So season, yeah.
Why don't we just let it play out?
Oh, John, he's going to hit us with the let it play
out. Let it play out.
Yeah, of course he does. All right, 248-539-9797. Some thoughts on Jared Goff, the MVP race. Is it over? Is his candidacy over after a 5-interception game in primetime? Talk more about that win, the play that saved the game. John, what was it? It's 97-1.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.